I know you're like me. You're believing and patiently waiting for the day that the Lord will bring some of your lost loved ones in and friends in and people that you're witnessing to into the kingdom. And you have to be very patient. And some people, we just have this funny feeling, are just too evil to come to the Lord, you know. But this next testimony, I think, will show you that that's not true. And that you pray and you ask the Lord, He'll provide the way, He'll lay the foundation, He'll work in that person's heart, and ultimately you'll have the victory. Praise God. Miss Jenny Bishop is with us, and she has an awesome testimony about her grandma's salvation. I wanted to share. Jenny, are you there?
Yep, I'm here, Dave.
Glad, so glad you made it.
Yep, I'm glad to be here. I hope this encourages some people.
I believe it will. So take your time and share away.
Okay. Well, first of all, I got saved about 9 years ago, and right away I tried to share about the Lord with my grandma a couple times, but she, you know, she really didn't have any ability to hear it at the time. And I could see very fast that it was going nowhere and the Lord was not doing it. So I just decided, you know, I would stop trying my own effort. And I prayed that if she was ever going to be close to dying, that the Lord would be merciful and tell me first and allow me to go to her and warn her, you know, that she was close to death and share the Lord with her and that He would save her at that time. And so years went on, and I actually had forgotten that I had prayed that prayer, I'm sure perfectly, by the Lord. In 4 years after that, so about 5 years ago, she had a heart attack and went into the hospital and was very sick. And afterwards, she ended up in a nursing home, and she was completely, completely out of her mind, like dementia. And every day we would go to the nursing home, you know, every day that we went, they would tell us constantly, you know, it's not going to be soon. I mean, it's not going to be soon. She is going to die. You might as well start preparing everything and planning her funeral and getting things in order. And I tried to talk to her again about the Lord a couple times up there, but it was very clear that she was very possessed. And a couple times, you know, the demons affecting her mind outright spoke to me. And I would rebuke them, and I was praying, and I just prayed, you know, Lord, just return her to her mind, you know, heal her body and get her out of here so that you can save her. I still, at this time, did not remember the old prayer. This was a new prayer. And I just kept praying, Lord, just get her out of here, because if she dies like this, you know, she won't be saved. And she was in there for 7 months. And they were surprised that she lasted this long, but they still kept saying, she's going to die, she's going to die. And after 7 months, all of a sudden, you know, in about a week's time, she just came to her right mind. She was completely normal. They said, you know, I mean, she obviously still had heart problems, but they said she can live on her own, she can take care of herself, and they let her out. And everybody was amazed by this. About a week after she was home, she even had a home health care nurse come out who had been there at the beginning of her being in the nursing home. And the nurse said she almost fainted when my grandma answered her door, because she thought for sure that she had been dead for months. She could not believe the testimony that she had gotten out and gotten better. And this was the one thing my grandma actually could hear. The first time I saw her after she got out, she said to me, you know, I don't know why God did this. I don't know why He brought me out of there. And I told her, you know, I prayed that the Lord would not let you die, that He would bring your mind back and get you out of there so that you could be saved first. And she actually could hear that, and she received it. And every time I saw her from that point on for the next 5 years, she talked about that to me. How, you know, she knew she got out of that place because God brought her out, because He heard me pray. And she couldn't seem to hear anything else yet, but she could hear that, you know, and she always talked to me about that. So, you know, all these years, that's all that she has been able to receive. But she had a good confession of just that. And about, about November, my husband started telling me, you know, the Lord is telling me that it's not going to be very long for your grandma. You know, you should probably go start talking to her about the Lord. And after the first time he told me, I remembered my prayer from 9 years ago. And I was excited. I was excited that I forgot the prayer because I just had kind of taken it by faith then and forgotten. So I knew that it wasn't because I told anybody to think about this or to come up with it. You know, it was definitely the Lord bringing it back. And so I began to go and warn her, you know, that it was going to be soon. I didn't know what soon meant. You know, I started to witness to her about the Lord, and she still seemed to really not be able to hear. And something I should tell about her, and I really don't want to talk bad of her, but she was a very good grandma to me, but everybody that knew her, you know, considered her probably the most wicked person that they've ever met. She had no ability to love any of her children, and I think that was probably demonic because she was able to love me. But, you know, two of her daughters committed suicide, and another one, who is my mother, you know, has lived in depression her whole life, and her other son has not talked to her in probably 45 years. And everybody that she knows blames her for all of this, and you know, probably rightly so. She did some very, very unspeakable things to them. So everybody had pretty much written her off, you know. There's no way that this woman can ever be saved. And I began to go to her, though, and I had really good confidence in the Lord because, you know, he brought this prayer back and gave me the warning to go. So, you know, the first couple times I went, she didn't argue a lot with me, but she also didn't seem to have a mind or a heart to even really understand what I was saying. You know, her arguments would be things like I would speak to her about repentance, and she would just say, well, what have I ever done? You know, I've never done anything wrong, you know, and you know what, Jenny, you think I'm a sinner? You know, and things like that. But then she would kind of get playful about it, and there wasn't really a way at that moment to bring her to a reality of what was being said, but she would again go back to talking about how she did believe that the Lord gave her these extra 5 years and brought her out of that nursing home. And she would say to me, you know, but I just don't know why he did it. And I kept reminding her, you know, it was for this purpose. You know, it was so that these days could come, so that she could be saved before the time. And she would agree with me in the moment, but then a couple minutes later she would say the same thing, I just don't know why he did it. So I could tell that at that moment he wasn't quite giving her a mind yet to retain the fullness of what was being said to her. But, you know, every time he kept telling me to go, I would go. And I went a few times over there and talked to her, and it was good, even though I could tell that it wasn't really fully getting to her heart yet. Then about 3 weeks ago, he began telling me many times over a certain weekend, you know, you need to go. And this thing happened with our van where I couldn't drive it and I didn't have a way to go. So he was telling me to go, but I didn't have a way to go. And so I just prayed, Lord, just, I don't know what's happening, but just hold her, you know, and make a way for me to go. And I think that actually ended up being very perfect because I was able to then go on that Tuesday. And when I went, I found out that weekend that he was telling me to go, she had poured a whole bunch of chemicals in her sink and didn't rinse it down. And the fumes filled her house and she couldn't breathe. And she thought she was going to die. And I felt like when she told me this that the Lord was showing me, you know, look, you know, death is very close to her. You know, it's going to come one way or another. You know, this is serious now. And I told her, you know, I've been warning you that he told me it's going to be soon. And look, you know, it already almost happened this weekend, you know. And I think she began to take it more seriously, although she still didn't have a full heart to hear. And we had a very good talk. The Lord began to have me talk about forgiveness because she had a lot of unforgiveness toward her son, which, you know, I don't really think that it matters much if she was to blame or he is to blame. In her heart, she had unforgiveness, you know. So I just talked to her about that and about forgiving and how the Lord wouldn't forgive her unless she forgave. Excuse me. And she said, well, I'll have to think about that one, you know. But she didn't fight with me about it, which was good. So I left that day, and that was on a Tuesday. And Saturday, nurses from the hospital called my mother and said, you know, she's up here. You know, you better come. So we went to the hospital, and she had chest pain at home and had got to the hospital and died. But they brought her back, which I believe was a miracle in itself, because she had just had do not resuscitate orders taken to the hospital a couple months ago. And they said that they would copy them and keep them in her file so that as soon as she came into emergency ever, you know, they would pull up the records and not resuscitate her. But somehow the Lord had the records lost. So when she did die, they brought her back. You know, they had her on a ventilator. She wasn't really waking up a lot at first, but I knew, you know, as soon as we got the call, I knew that this time was for real. You know, we've had many calls like this in my life, but I knew, you know, the Lord's been warning us, and I knew this time was for real. And so, you know, we began just staying in the hospital, you know, spending the night and being there, watching her, you know, all day and all night. And I was praying, you know, and trying to fill her room with, you know, singing to the Lord and reading to the Lord and praising him and hoping for the opportunity, you know, for her to wake up enough and get the tubes out of her mouth and stuff enough to talk to her before it would be too late. And after a few days, they did bring her off of all those things. And soon after, the doctors came to us and said, you know, we're really just running in circles. You know, we're just keeping her alive by our own means, and we think that, you know, it's best to make a decision and take her off of everything and send her to hospice and let her go in peace, you know, so we can stop pretty much torturing her with all these methods that we were doing to keep her alive. And my mom and I agreed that that was probably the right thing to do, and I knew that the Lord would do his work in whatever amount of time that was going to be left. And so we went and, you know, talked to her about how she was going to die. And she actually knew, you know, she said to us first, you know, I'm going to die. And, you know, she began to mourn. And right then I saw, you know, a change in her. You know, she began to be very humbled, which I've never, ever seen her be. She began to be very humbled and, you know, she would weep and then she would, you know, say something good and laugh and, you know, and I spoke to her at that time about forgiving, you know, and how that was one of the really important things. And I could tell she could hear it. You know, I could tell at that moment she did not forgive yet, but that she could actually really hear it. And a few hours later, they were ready to take her to hospice, and her normal doctor called and canceled all of the plans. And said, you know, no, we're going to keep her in the hospital. We're not going to send her to hospice. We're going to hook her back up to all the machines and do whatever we can to keep her alive. And I have to admit, I was a little bit frustrated with this. I knew that the Lord was doing something, but I did not know what he was doing. And, you know, to me it just seemed a little bit torturous to tell somebody that they're going to die and then, you know, somebody comes and tells them no, you know. Yeah, but I can see now the purpose that it served, because as soon as her doctor did that, she kind of puffed right back up with pride, you know, and all the humbleness that we just saw in her seemed to go away. And I knew, you know, obviously that was still in her heart, and the Lord needed to reveal it and get it out, you know, before the end. So there was a couple days where we got to go home, you know, and just come visit, and then all of a sudden, she began to get worse again. And out of nowhere, her oxygen just kept dropping. They didn't know why it was happening at that moment, but her lungs were filling up with fluid, and it was filling up faster than they could drain it. So finally, you know, a day came, and we decided, you know, we should start staying up here again all night and all day, you know, having somebody here constantly, because we didn't know how long it would be. And my mom decided, you know, you're going to go home tonight, and I'll stay, and you're going to come back tomorrow around 1 o'clock. And I just did not feel right about that for some reason. And I didn't know why. I didn't have a direct word from the Lord. I just didn't feel right, you know. And I went in the bathroom, and I don't cast lots very much anymore, but I just felt uneasy, and I didn't know how to discern it. So, you know, I cast lots, and I asked the Lord, you know, is it okay that I go home tonight and my mom stays? And he did not answer me. And I was kind of puzzled, and I thought, okay, you know, well, maybe it's that I should ask permission from my husband. You know, he's been home with, like, 5 kids and, you know, all these weeks that I've been staying up at the hospital. So I asked the Lord, you know, okay, is that it? You know, I should just ask my husband, and he didn't answer me again. And I thought to myself, okay, all right, Lord, you know, I don't want to keep asking you things, but I don't feel right, and I don't know why, you know, and I don't feel good about staying, and I don't feel good about leaving, and I just don't know, you know. So I refined my question and told him, I'm going to ask you one last thing, and if you don't want to answer me, then okay. But I asked him, you know, if I go tonight and come back tomorrow when my mom told me to come back, you know, will my grandma be okay until then? And he very clearly, very fast, gave me a no. And I knew, you know, so. And I went out and told my mom, you know, I'm staying. You can go home, but I'm staying. And now my mom is not a believer yet, but she was seeing the work that the Lord was doing. And she was completely giving way to, you know, what he was doing. And she would ask me, you know, if he was telling me anything about what's happening. And so she asked me, you know, did he tell you something? Do you know something that I don't know? Because if it's going to be tonight, I don't want to leave. And I told her, you know, I don't know that it's definitely going to be tonight. You know, I just know that I can't go, you know, because I did not know for sure what she's not going to be okay meant, you know. And so I told her, you know, she could go ahead and go. And she left, and it began to be a very long night. Her oxygen kept going down, and they wanted to keep a mask on her face, you know, an oxygen mask, and she was so frustrated with this mask, you know, and she was tired, and she didn't want it to be on, and the nurse told me, just keep trying to, you know, talk to her and ease her and get her to keep it on until her oxygen will come up, you know, and for hours I had to stand there, you know, at her bed and try to talk sweetly to her and convince her to keep it on, but she would want to take it right off, and her oxygen just kept going down, and, you know, I kept telling her, you know, Grandma, if you don't keep it on, you know, you're not going to live tonight, and she was so frustrated, you know, with the situation that she was just like, you know, I don't care, let me die, you know, and I kept telling her, you know, Grandma, I am okay with you dying, but Don't go tonight just because you're mad and you're frustrated with the situation. You know, go because you decide that this is what you're going to do. You know, I didn't want her to go with just an angry heart. And I knew that the Lord would do the work, and I didn't know how much time she had, but I believed he was going to do it. And finally, after quite a few hours, she refused to wear it anymore. And, you know, for a little while, she fell asleep, and her oxygen numbers for the first time stayed up without the mask, and I just sat down and kept praying, you know, okay, Lord, just keep it up. Just keep her oxygen up long enough for her to get some rest, you know, for me to be in prayer, for you to do the work in her heart that has to be done tonight. And, you know, I prayed and sang, and she got some rest. And after a little while, she woke up, and I got to talk to her for just a moment, you know, and her numbers began to go back down. And she fell back asleep, and now her numbers were getting really low, and I was watching the screen, and I'm praying, you know, Lord, you have to do it. You know, I need signs from you. I need a confession out of her mouth, and I kept thinking of how the word says, you know, that with the heart man believes to righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And I kept telling him, Lord, I just need a confession. I just need, you know, a yes from her, you know, anything. I need a confession, and I need some tokens from you that this work is done. And he instantly brought to my mind, like, very powerfully, you know, how sometimes it just hits you, you know. He showed me that earlier that day he had given me 222 and 555, and at the moment I didn't really think much about it. I was just kind of like, amen, Lord, okay, you know. And he showed me that, you know, while those are small signs, they were the signs that I needed, that he's doing the work, and that he is my God, and he is the Word, and he is doing it. And I was instantly comforted, and I was like, okay, Lord, so all I need is my confession. I know I'm going to get it. And very soon after, she woke up, and I told her, it's going to be tonight, because you're getting pretty low, you know, and she knew. And I said, you know, I have to ask you now, you know, do you finally believe that Jesus died for your sins on the cross? And she said, yes, I do. And this is the first time she didn't argue with me and say, you know, what sins? And I said to her, you know, so, you know, do you now repent for everything that you have ever done wrong, you know, against the Lord or anyone? And she said, yes. And she said it very peacefully, even very humbly. And I said, so, you know, you will agree that he is your Lord now, and that, you know, he is going to take care of you when you pass away. And she said, well, of course he is. And it was the first time, you know, that she didn't have any argue or fight. She was very peaceful, very humble, you know. And then I began to talk to her some about the kingdom and what it would be like according to what the Bible says. And she just laid there and kind of smiled and listened and just nodded her head yes. You know, and she is not known for being that kind of woman. You know, some of these things might not sound very large, but if you know her, you know, they're huge. And so I was very comforted. I was so thankful to the Lord. And from that moment on, I was okay. You know, I wanted her to be peaceful, because they said that, you know, the kind of death that she was going to go by, it can be very bad. And the nurse told me I should call my mom and have her come back up to the hospital, because it could be any time. So I called my mom up, and she came up. And as soon as my mom walked in the room, my mom had a heart attack, and they had to take her down to emergency, which is a whole other testimony I won't go into. But so I spent the rest of the night, you know, with my grandma, you know, getting some rest. And my mom decided to have them put her on morphine so that she would just sleep until she passed away. And I was at peace with that, you know, because I knew that I got my confession and you know, oh, I forgot a part. I talked to her about forgiveness, and she forgave also. You know, praise God. That was the big one. So the next day, you know, I was in my mom's room now, because they put my mom in the room next to hers. And the nurse ran over and said, you know, you might want to come over here fast. You know, she's going down fast. And I got in her room, and I sat down next to her bed. And she didn't wake up, you know, because she was on the morphine. But I sat down long enough to watch her take three breaths, you know, very far apart. And then she just didn't take any more. And, you know, you feel kind of weird, because, you know, your flesh tells you, you know, you should be very upset because this person has died. But, you know, I didn't feel like that. I felt like, you know, this person has just found life. You know, I mean, what's better, you know? I mean, being saved and going on, or living a miserable life, wicked and, you know, unsaved. And so I was very happy. And then I found something very awesome the next day. At church, my pastor was preaching about covetedness, and, you know, getting the idols out of your heart of things that you own. And this was a big thing for my grandma. You know, she was very into what she had, and she wasn't rich. She just had a lot of stuff. And I realized, you know, that she began to show fruit from the day that she was first partly humbled, when she thought she was going to die. Because before, she would always tell us, you know, you don't touch my stuff until I'm dead. You know, I came out of that nursing home, you know, so you don't know what'll happen. Don't touch anything, you know, unless I'm dead. But a week before, when she first knew she was going to die soon, she began to get that all out of her heart. And very peacefully, she was telling people, you know, I want you to take this, and I want you to do whatever you feel is right with that. And, you know, she was actually being very caring toward my mom, which she never has been able to be. And telling my mom, you know, I trust that you'll do what's right with everything. I'm not worried about it, you know. Just make sure so-and-so gets this and that, you know, and I trust you, you know. And which those are very actually caring words toward my mom to come from her. And So I was very excited then that I had seen fruit. And then the next service that my church had, he talked about how love hopes all things. And he talked about how people are so fast to give up on the wicked. And, you know, when I was up there and she was dying, I had people in my family and even a pastor, you know, no names mentioned. But, you know, some people just have never been taught about faith. And I was trying to give the testimony of how, you know, the Lord has warned me and this is what I prayed and so I believe he's going to do it. And everybody just was like, well, you know her, you know, she is this way and she's that way and we're praying, but I just don't think it's going to happen, you know. Yeah, I wouldn't count on it. And, you know, it was just a lot of looking at her wickedness instead of looking at the power of the Lord to save. And I was very pleased, you know, when that was like the perfect sermon afterward to hear, you know, how love hopes all things and doesn't give up, you know, and believes that the Lord can do it. And it was almost like another confirmation on top of what I already knew, that indeed the Lord had done it and she is saved and the Lord is now working on my mom through this and I am very excited. Praise God.
Amen. That's a wonderful testimony. Praise the Lord. So you really can't judge by how evil a person is whether they'll come to the Lord or not. Matter of fact, they got more reason to come to the Lord than anybody, don't they?
Amen.
Wow. Thank you, Jenny. That's awesome. And I know there's some of you out there that, you know, in this situation, you've got some folks that are old or kin folks that are old or whatever, you know, and just keep on believing and praying. And, you know, Jenny asked quite a few things of the Lord and he fulfilled them, you know, and given her time to think about death before she was just taken out, you know. I mean, that obviously was, you know, when she thought she wasn't going to die, she kind of turned back to the world. But when she thought she were, she turned back to the Lord. So, you know, obviously that's a good thing, you know, that somebody has a time to think about their fallibility, you know. Think about, yep, you're leaving now. You don't have any reason to hold on to your pride or anything else, you know. You might as well settle your debt and talk to the Lord, believe in the Lord, right? Praise God. Let's pray. Let's pray for you and your lost loved ones and your friends that you're praying for. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we know that you hear our prayers. We know that you use our prayers and you use our faith, Lord, to bring people into the kingdom and to bring about situations like Jenny's situation with her grandma so that she was able to talk to her and able to get across to her the things that she needed and also bringing her to the place where she knew she was going to die, you know. Lord, we pray these kind of prayers for our lost loved ones, especially the elderly, Lord. And we just ask you to fulfill them. We ask you, Lord, to put it in our hearts, the things that you want us to pray, Lord, for them. The thing that will best bring them to the Lord. Give them an opportunity of coming to the Lord. Father, we ask it in the name of Jesus that you do this, that you give us wisdom, that you give us the want to, that you guide us by putting your desires in us concerning them, that you give us patience, you know, like you gave Jenny patience with the grandma. Nowadays, young people want to just run and do and play and have fun and not really think about these things that are eternal. We ask you, Father, to give due diligence to the brethren out there who are thinking about their lost loved ones and their, in some cases, their soon death or whatever. And Lord, we just we ask you, Lord, to help us to be diligent in the harvest here, Lord, diligent in being careful for their souls, and praying and believing, and also being ready to witness. And we just thank you for these things, Father. We thank you for working in us to willing to do, and thank you for bringing in our loved ones, Lord. We thank you for bringing in the people we've been praying for. We trust you, Father. We trust you. We thank you. And we praise you. In Jesus' name, hallelujah. Thank you so much for being with us, Jenny.
Thank you very much.
God bless you.
God bless you all.